All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. I've been going through the book of Proverbs now for, close to 11 years. And we're going to plan for today to just back up to one verse of Scripture found, verse 33, Proverbs 16, 33. I feel that for me, and I know for all God's people, we need to hear and be reminded time and time again, because we're prone to forget. We're prone to worry and fret, complain about the circumstances of our life. And the Scripture in Proverbs 16:33 sets forth a truth that truly is a comfort to our heart. The Scripture says the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, we know that we're sojourners in this world. God's people are traveling through this world. The Lord has ordered our time here. He ordered our birth. He orders our death. It's ordained. It's appointed unto man once to die. We know that. And we know that this is not our final home. We know that. The Scripture sets forth that we're in a world that is absolutely under the direction and government of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But now, do we really perceive and consider the magnitude of His government? No. No, we don't. This Scripture sets forth that everything that happens. Now, this may to some people seem far-fetched, and as I've said so many times before, when we say all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So that means that if a fly comes into a room and aggravates me, which it'll do, or if there is a king, Ahasuerus, who in the book of Esther couldn't sleep one night and ordered that the book of the records of his country be brought forth and read to him, and he heard that a man named Mordecai had saved his life. Mordecai had, if a sparrow or a leaf from a tree falls to the ground, or if one of the vessels of God's mercy is brought under the sound of the gospel, everything has been ordained according to the direction and power of God's will. Now, we got to understand this. Nothing happens apart from God's providence, God's will, God's purpose. All things providentially are sent for God's glory and the eternal good of His elect. And that truth, which I know I need to hear, I need to hear again. It's a great comfort. It causes me to rest and say, Lord, why do I doubt? Why do I not trust You? And thank You for establishing again in my mind that You're God, and that I'm not running the show. You are. And that You're the one who has everlastingly loved Your people. You've chosen, you've ordained them in Christ Jesus according to Your good pleasure, Your covenant of Your eternal grace, and You've ordained their end from the beginning. And You control everything to assure that You bring them exactly to that point. And it was for Your praise and honor. So God's will is going to be done. And God's will for us concerning his government, here's what the scripture says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, in everything. Now, here again, here we go. In everything. Oh, if I could just remember this. In everything, give thanks. For this, that is, that thankful spirit, is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This is the will of God as he has revealed himself to his people in Christ concerning you, concerning each of his elect. So he's working all things, and we're to, in everything, give thanks. If I could just remember, whatever comes from my, I am so prone, I just fly off the handle, I lose control, I argue, I bicker, and I think, why did this happen? What? If I could remember that Almighty God is working everything for his glory and my good. Now the scripture we're looking at today, it says the lot is cast into the lap. Now that the concerning the practice of casting lots, it was a God-ordained practice found in the Old Testament. And it, you know, I think of casting, you know, dice, shooting dice. You know, roll the dice. And in a sense, I can see that. But what this was, it was where they had a container, an urn, a hat, a cloak, whatever, and covered up. And they would take and write on it. Write something on it. And then the priest, whoever, they would reach in. If there was a decision that had to be made, a decision of important matters, the priest would take it and he'd reach in and pull it out. They're looking for an answer from the Lord. And when this was according to God's people and God's priest, it wasn't left to luck. Somebody said, "Well, he did lucky." No, it was a God ordained practice. There's no such thing as luck. If luck is an issue, then God's not working everything. But if God's working everything, it's not luck. It's God's providence. So whenever the lot was cast, it was the Lord God himself, the governor and the director, who determined the outcome. That's what scripture, the lot's cast into the lap. The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, in the determining of the will, hold your place right there. Turn to Numbers chapter 26. Numbers 26. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 26. I want to read verses 52. Numbers 26. Starting in verse 52. When the children of Israel, now God was going to, he sent his people into the promised land. And they were going to determine the inheritance. They were going to divide it up. God ordered the division of the land to be according to his purpose. He divided up the promised land the way God was determined to do it. And then he also, you know, they wrote down. They divided it up according to the, you know, the families of the 12 tribes. And then they write down that particular piece of property. They put that in the hat, whatever. And then they write down the names of the 12 tribes. Put that in there. And then the priest would take it and he'd reach in. There's a piece of property. And here's going, this is who gets it. Now, listen to this. Numbers 26. Verse 52. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of the names. To many thou shalt give the more inheritance. To the few thou shalt give the less inheritance. To every one shall inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot, According to the names of the tribes of their fathers, they shall inherit according to the lot, shall the possession thereof be divided between many and few. The priest didn't determine the plot of land. He didn't determine the name on the paper. He pulled them out, and whatever he pulled out, that's who got it. So the determining of the difference of who got what, God ordered that. Whenever on the Day of Atonement, one day a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, not without blood, would go in to the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. And there were two goats that were brought to him. And one goat was going to be called the goat that was for the Lord. And that goat was going to be sacrificed. And the other goat would have the high priest put his hands on top of that goat's head, and he would confess the sins of the people, confess that they were sinners, and they were symbolically placing the guilt, and that goat would be taken away. He was a scapegoat. He would be taken into a far-off place, by a man and left him out there. That was a picture of two goats representing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice himself and the taking away of the sins of the people. And the scripture says in Leviticus 16:8, and Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. So casting of lots in the Old Testament was done that the Lord might show his will, provide for the people a hearing. And it was done out of reverence and respect on the Lord, because the Lord determined the outcome. Now, the last mention, and this was an amazing thing. The last time that lots were cast was recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 26, and it was pertaining to the desire of the apostles to seek God's will and pleasure concerning replacing Judas. Judas had killed himself, and the scripture says that the apostles, they got two guys together, and a Joseph and a Matthias, and they were going to cast lots. And it says in Acts 1:26, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, it's been rightly noted that the name of Matthias, the one that was chosen by lot, was never mentioned again in scriptures. The apostles, by lot, chose that, and it fell on him. But the Lord was pleased to call a man named Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who later Paul the apostle, to be the apostle of God's choice. So therefore, from that revelation, we could consider that God's not pleased anymore to use the casting of lots to reveal his will or his promise. No mention of lots whatsoever being cast after the book of Acts in all the establishing of the churches and stuff. No more. They didn't, that's it. But though the casting of lots is not found to continue today, we're taught in the picture and type of what that casting of lots did, is that the Lord himself is the one that appoints the boundaries of his people in everything, in every part of our lives. Our life is marked, appointed, and directed by Almighty God. And the scriptures declare that when the lots were cast according to the Lord's direction for the people, the whole disposing of it, it came together. His act was in his hands, and his will was done in the Old Testament. But now, we don't cast lots anymore. God obviously stopped it. I mean, the lots were cast for Matthias. That was it. Obviously, that wasn't God's man. God chose his man. So the sovereign God of this universe has set forth that the truth that the Lord is going to order. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord shall stand. So today, how do we know what the will of the Lord is? They cast lots. That's how they knew. How do we know? Providence. The providence of God. What happens? Now, we know that the Lord has ordained. He knows the end. Again, as I said before, he knows the end from the beginning. And so we know that the Lord promising that he's going to work all things after the counsel of his own will, all we got to know is what happens. What happened? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We know the scripture said we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't say today or tomorrow we're going to go to this city and that city and we're going to buy and sell and make gains. But the Lord said you don't know that. But rather, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. So if we would but consider today that every single action that comes about, heaven, earth, it's going to be brought forth by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge and will of Almighty God. And that'll ease us. We can relax. Now, what do? We pray the Lord's will be done. Lord, if it be your will, we ask. Lord, would you direct according to your will? And then whatever comes about, then we say we're the Lord's will. The Lord's will was done. So we're troubled on many sides. I understand that. But when the circumstances of this life are brought about according to God's good pleasure, then we know that Almighty God's will is being done. So the scripture says concerning the will of the Lord. Listen to Colossians 1:16. It says, for by him, and I looked this up. This is an amazing. It says, for by him. And obviously, when we think of by him, that means by his agency, by him. The Lord did it. That's true. But the word by there actually means in, I-N. For in him. And this to me, just took on a whole new meaning. In my mind, I say, okay, the Lord created all this by him. But the scripture sets forth that in him. Now we start thinking of that, and we start thinking of, Lord, I've thought way too low of you. I've not considered you as I ought. For in him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him. Now that word by is a different word. Same verse translated the same word, but they mean two different things. The first one means for in him were created, and this one means by his servant, by his service and intervention. That's what that means. It does mean he did it, but all things were created in him. And the scripture says, and for him. All things were made by him or in him, and all things were created by his intervention. And they were all created for him. The most majestic creation. I mean, we look at man. What a creation. Created in the image of God. Somebody said, well, what does that mean? I don't really know. There's some things that I've thought of, and because I can't put them to words, I don't comment on them because I don't know how to say them. But when God said, let us, now there's the Trinity, let us create man in our image. I know that we're chosen in Christ. I know, but the Lord himself didn't come into being in time. He always was. He was made flesh in time, but he was, the scripture says in Proverbs 8, the Lord speaking of himself as the mediator, the representative of his people, he said, I was ever before him. I was ever his delight. He's talking about his Father. So there's certain things that we believe and trust, but I don't know how to say them. But we were created in his image. That means that he was before us. But again, I don't know how to explain that, so I'll just leave it there. But that the most majestic creation, whether it be, you know, it's got to be man, because the Lord was never created, obviously that, or whether it's angels, whether it's the stars, the sun, the most elaborate, majestic creation of this universe exists to serve the ultimate purpose of the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that is created, everything that we see, everything that we know, everything that is brought about in providence is brought about to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in the redemption and salvation of his people. And you say, well, I don't understand how a leaf falling from a tree, I don't understand that. I don't understand how a bird, a sparrow hitting the ground, I don't see how that, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay that we don't understand it. There's no way we can understand it. There's no way we can, but we believe it. We believe it. We believe that everything that's happened, not a car, these cars that are passing by. Somebody said, well, they're just going to work. No, they're not. No, they're not. There's a purpose in everything. God has created everything by or in the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the person Christ, and it was created for him, for his glory, that he might be glorified as the God-man mediator between God and men. So this universe, created by him, for him, it's his property. This is his. All of this is his. And it's this property that we look at, we see it and behold it. We can see the heavens, and the scripture says the glory of God magnifies, you know, displays the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is all his. And it was created for the express purpose to show the mercy and compassion of Almighty God in the person of his blessed Son to those that the Lord eternally loved. I mean, this is, you know, all these cities and these countries and these oceans, you think, what is all that for? It's for him. Him. Now that's an amazing revelation. But the scriptures declare that it pleased God through every act of his providence in creation to display the wonders of his electing, redeeming, and regenerating love, and that his Son might be honored. Now I'm quite sure that we fail to perceive how that's being brought about. I guarantee you, we don't have a clue, but we believe it. We believe it, and it settles our hearts. We just said, the Lord did that. When Joseph, back in the Old Testament, his brothers were all, they were very jealous of him. His dad made him a coat of many colors, and they took him and were going to kill him. And you know, one of the brothers, Judah, I believe it was, said, no, let's don't kill him. Hey, look, there's a traveling caravan right there. Why don't we let's sell him. Let's give him to them. Okay. And here's Joseph. He doesn't understand. He's, well, what's going on? You know, you threw me in a pit, and I mean, you're my brothers. I don't get it. I don't get it. And they get him and they put him in there, and a man named Potiphar gets a hold of him. Now he's Potiphar's servant. And Potiphar's wife, you know, cast her eye on him and desired him and tried to get him to commit adultery with her. And he said, No. He ran, and she lied on him and threw him in prison. I don't get it. Why? Why? Providence. And then it comes up and it works its way up, and God, in his good pleasure and timing, puts it second in command, right under Pharaoh in Egypt. It makes him the one that is you have to come to get the corn. Everybody had to come to Joseph. And you know, look, Joseph, years and years and years later, there was a famine over in the land of his family, and his daddy sent the brothers, you know, and there was Joseph. They didn't know who he was. And all of this was brought about that God might preserve his people alive in Egypt. And I mean, can you imagine Joseph thinking, I thought serving the Lord was going to be easier. You know, the Lord, no, he's promised you're going to have tribulation. And all of these, it's just absolutely necessary that everything be brought about in this world through the circumstances that have been ordered by God, that God might receive the glory. The Lord said in John 17:2, "Thou hast given him," that is Christ himself, he's praying to his Father in his high priestly prayer, "Thou hast given him power over all flesh." Well, does that mean unbelievers too? Yeah. Here again, if they fall under all flesh, "Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Every person, whether they be a vessel of God's electing grace, or if God's been pleased to leave them to themselves as a reprobate, all of them are God's servants. They all serve God's purpose. All of them. And Almighty God is going to be magnified for his mercy or for his justice. But all men, all women are going to serve God. I can tell you that right now. They're all power. So aren't we thankful for his promise to never leave us? Never forsake. He said, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you." And do we not thank him afresh that he's given us eternal life? And he said, "I promise you, you're not going to perish." Well, how do I know? How do I know? If I've got a lot, if I've got a place in that place of mercy, God gives me a heart to believe it and gives me a heart that longs to hear that again. You want to hear the gospel again. I want to grow. I want to grow in the knowledge of Almighty God. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So Mr. Spurgeon made this statement. He said, concerning the squabbling about God's providence, he said, "We're meddling in his business." I thought this was a good statement. "We're meddling in his business and neglecting our own." He said, "We're trying to provide the work, and we're forgetting that our lot is to wait and obey." Be thankful. We'd be wise to be attentive to trust him in his providential dealings. But this state of waiting on the Lord and resting in his good pleasure, that doesn't come easy. That flies in the face of our flesh. We still got an old man that wants to argue with God and wants to doubt his pleasure. We know that every trial comes his way. We know he's promised that. You know, in this life you'll have tribulation. But boy, when they come, boy, I tell you, I'm the first one to gripe. Somebody said, "Well, I just don't know why." Well, that's me. It's only when we experience his hand of deliverance from the stress of this world when we experience it and we behold, we look back, and you know, then we can say, as David, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. I looked that up, afflicted. Browbeaten. Hurt, ravished, and humbled. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn, that is, by experience. It's actually learn means to be goaded, like a cattle prod. You know what a cattle prod is. You know, to be taught or instructed. It's good for me that I might learn thy statutes. What do you mean, statutes? The Lord's appointment for me. God's statutes for me is what he's appointed for me. So the Lord has been pleased to bring his people about through trials and tribulations, just like he did Joseph. And he teaches, but let me ask you this. Shall he who has given us the bread of heaven himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who sent his only begotten Son to come into this world to save his chosen people from their sins, will he fail to give me something to eat tonight? He's given me his Son. Will he fail to give me something to eat, a sandwich or something? Will he fail to? He who has robed his people in righteousness, is he going to fail to give me a shirt to wear? You know, we get all stressed out over this stuff. You know, could he who has provided a mansion for me in glory, is he going to forget or fail to give me a shelter in the time of storm in this life? Right? He said, I'm not going to leave you. You know, so he brings about the things that come our way because we need them. We need them. It's not that he does these things out of anger or something. God's not angry with his people. God's wrath has been completely taken away at Calvary. The Lord who saw the lamb slain, God's never been angry with his people in wrath. No, he's, you know, and so Paul has promised, the Spirit of God has promised through Paul, Philippians 4:9, but my God shall supply all your need, even trials, according to his riches and glory by Christ. So, in closing, the lot, that is the portion of God's purpose and pleasure for each of his children, according to his all-wise heart of mercy and compassion. The lot, that means whatever comes, whatever happens, that the lot is cast into the lap. That means it's divinely ordered and sent according to his timely good pleasure into the life of each of the vessels of his affection. The lot is cast into the lap. But the whole disposing thereof, the whole of what is brought about and accomplished and exposed, is of the Lord. It is by him and for him. Now, when our heart is clouded with anxiety and we pour out our heart unto him and we cast all of our care upon him, may the Spirit of God be pleased to bring this verse of Scripture to our hearts. I know from mine, I need to hear this often. Scripture says in Psalm 27:4, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I pray the Lord bless this to our hearts for his glory and our good.